Welcome to WGMC at 50, a historical podcast series reflecting back on the five decades that WGMC Jazz 90.1 has been on the air in Rochester. WGMC 90.1 FM signed on for the very first time on November 1st, 1973.
We now commence with our first day of broadcast.
I'm Rob Linton, station manager of Jazz 90.1, and I've spent the past few months talking with WGMCers, past and present, and those who have had a hand in getting this radio station to where it is today, again, celebrating our 50th golden anniversary.
Welcome to the first broadcast by the Monroe Educational Radio Association Network.
We'd like to thank everybody who has participated in this series so far, and we invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy an oral history of WGMC. At 50. You're listening to WGMC at 50. I'm joined today by Rick Petrie, one of the hosts of North Star Sounds here on Jazz 90.1. Rick, thank you for taking the time.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure, Rob. Thanks for having me.
You have been here for quite a while. How many years has it been now?
I think it's 20, maybe 21, something like that.
Is it really?
It's I think so. I got a little plaque that says 20, so it must be 20. I
was just use
really?
That as a reference.
Yeah, whatever anybody tells me. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and 20 years ago. And I've been doing radio in Rochester for 35 years now.
Yep. So that's one of the things I want to talk about today, but talk a little bit about your program, North Star Sounds.
North Star Sounds, adventurous music, music coming out of John Coltrane, Eric Dolphy, Ornette Coleman, Cecil Taylor, the avant-garde. There are so many musicians today playing music inspired by those musicians or creating their own path, and they don't get played in the middle of the day, fascinatingly enough. They don't get played in the middle of the day because it does stretch things. They're looking for the new sounds. They're looking for some new rhythm, or the compositions don't fall into the something that's close to the American songbook. It's more experimental, although there is a lot of melody and a lot and some of them have an incredible groove, an incredible rhythm to them that can't be found anywhere else. And
so going back, have you always been interested in this genre of music?
I was always looking for new things, like something to excite me. And my friends in high school were all in the jazz band. They were all 1 year younger than me and in the jazz band. And I hung out with them and played Dungeons and Dragons, and then we moved on to the other D&D, driving and drinking. But fortunately, we stopped that. So that was, but they turned me on to so much great music. And then I was at Syracuse University in the chemistry department, and I bought three albums. I bought Sonny Rollins Volume 2. Horace Silver and the Jazz Messengers, and I bought Eric Dolphy Out to Lunch, and they were incredible inspirations, especially on Sonny Rollins Volume 2, Misterioso. That song just grabbed me, and Art Blakey's drumming underneath just like was this storm just waiting to explode under this beautiful melody. And Eric Dolphy's Out to Lunch was incredible, and I'd never heard anything like that before. And that was a big push there. That was a big push, those three albums. And I did not get my chemistry degree and my master's or PhD.
So going back a little bit, you've talked about how long you've been in radio. Obviously, we'll talk about kind of your tenure with 90.1. But go all the way back to the beginning, to when you first got involved in radio. What brought you there? What got you involved? Where'd you get your start?
I did some in high school. At Penfield High School, we had a radio club. We played music into the commons. I did a little in college. And then I started in Rochester at WBER for 6 months and asked politely to leave. That was for...
you asked politely to leave?
No, I was asked to be a good boy or leave. And just I couldn't be a good boy, so I left. And then I got in at WITR, which was between 1989 and 1997, and that was there was a lot of great punk rock. There was a lot of great rock and roll. There was a lot of great world music being played there, and jazz too. Tony Gaspar was the jazz director, and he was very dedicated to playing the best jazz on the air there at that time.
Now, did you go to school at RIT?
No, I did not go to school.
Okay, so RIT allowed just kind of like us here, community members.
There were many community members that were on the air at that time. Yep. I think there are only two left right now, maybe three. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was, I got into jazz big there, and Sunday nights would be the jazz night there. And,
so what year, so around what time frame was this, would you say?
89 to 97 or okay. 98, something like that, yeah.
Okay. So after RIT, or after doing work on BER briefly and then ITR, where'd you go from there?
RUR.
Okay.
And there was overlap. There was overlap with ITR and RUR, and then it seemed like RUR was going to work out better. And I was there for 7 or 8 years, and then John Greenbaum needed help doing his new show at Jazz 90.1 at WGMC. And I said, sure, I'll help. And it was only once a month then. It was so he would come in 1 month, I would come
in the
next month.
Wait a minute, John was involved here years ago?
20 years ago, John Greenbaum, yes.
I guess I didn't know that.
He did the show, he started the show when Jason Crane was the general manager.
General manager, yeah.
And I came in while they were there, and then... Well, John had a family. He had kids and a job, and he got to a point where he was like, I have too much on my plate. I can't handle this. Do you want to do the show? And I'm like, once a month. And I'm like, sure. And I think it was like 2 weeks later, Jason said, do you think you could do it weekly? And I'm like, sure. Yeah, I can do it weekly. I think I better get a car so I can do it weekly.
Right.
But that was exciting, doing the show weekly.
So what was it about radio that brought you to it? Because obviously all of the stations, including ours that you're talking about, it was it's volunteer. So yeah. What brought you to want to work on the radio?
I don't know. Maybe listening to radio growing up was huge. Mm-hmm. Listening to music songs on the radio, top 40, mm-hmm. A song appearing out of nowhere was an incredible thing. It's just, where did that, and you'd like, oh, I recognize that, or what is that? What is that sound on the radio? What is that, what's being played? Where is it seemed like a miracle. And I don't know if I fed into the DJ mystique, just like, oh, the DJ, I just wanted to get nearer to the music and playing the music and discovering more about it. I think that was the big push. Yeah.
So when North Star Sounds started here, you mentioned John Greenbaum started the program, and then you took it over into a weekly show.
Weekly show, yeah.
Which you did by yourself for many, many years.
For like 10 years, and then maybe a little more, and then Matt Shackelford shared the show for probably 5 or 6 years, like that. And that helped. It's a 9 to midnight, and that got to be a strain doing that every week, Tuesday. But and Matt brought something special to the show, which I'm very grateful that Matt was able to help out. Then he left because he became a postman. And he had to deliver the mail every morning. And I enjoyed. I did it again weekly for a while, for half a year, and then that was okay. I was like, hey, I can do this. I can do it every week if I want to. But they might have to clean me up after the pavement, you know, sometimes. So it's good. And John has brought a lot of enthusiasm to the show, and it's great that he can return to the show after being gone for 19 years or 20 years or whatever it is. And he's bringing a fresh perspective to North Star Sounds. And we each play music that we think is some of the best in the world and deserves to be heard, deserves more exposure, definitely.
So we talk about, obviously, the fact that you're a volunteer and you've been doing this for quite some time. You've seen this radio station through a significant amount of changes over the years.
Yep.
as a community volunteer, as someone who puts in their own blood, sweat, and tears every week to make a program happen, what's it been like for you to see Jazz 90.1 kind of evolve and grow?
Well, I think the number of events that we're involved in around the around town has grown incredibly. And the number of shows we sponsor, the number of events, the number of people that have become members of Jazz 90.1, the change in DJ, it's been good. And our involvement with the Jazz Festival, of course, the Jazz Festival has grown with us. We've grown with the Jazz Festival, and we've been there every year. So I'm impressed. I'm incredibly impressed with the way things are. I'm really hoping it keeps growing, keeps getting better, and more young people. I really hope more young people get involved with Jazz here at the station.
Did you see yourself years ago when you first got on the radio and started doing your thing? Did you see yourself remaining a volunteer for as long as you have, doing this for as long as you have?
I had a goal of 80. I don't know, making it to 80 years old. And
we're far away from that.
And, you know, I'm going to develop the contraptions that can carry the records into the studio. And when I'm 80, or maybe hire elves or something like that to bring in the records or something. But it's still very, very enjoyable. The looking for the perfect segue, looking for a good segue, that's still really exciting. Putting two songs together and something that comes out of that is, I think that's one of the biggest things DJing. When I first went to WITR, I said there are two broad forms of segues. There's the Hollywood segue, where things seamlessly, one song seamlessly goes into the other, and it flows perfectly. Then there's the Eisenstein montage method, where you take two songs and kind of butt them up against each other, mm-hmm. and just like a lot of contrast. I think I do more of the Hollywood now, but the Eisenstein is still good. Eisenstein, yeah. The montage method. We'll put these two songs together. We'll make it work. Yeah, and get something new out of it.
One of the things about your program that I've always loved is the fact that you have a very devout, dedicated, devoted group of people who seek your program out every week and who tune in on a regular basis. And as a host, that's got to be, that's got to be really cool to know that you're talking to a very, albeit niche, music genre fan base. You're talking to a very devoted group of people every week.
It's really great to when I meet somebody out and about and they say they listen to the show and listen. And I am very, very happy. It's always humbling. Mm-hmm. And try to do a good job. Try to be clear. Try to do everything right so we can keep playing the music.
Sure.
So it's important to, I tell people sometimes, the avant-garde show has to follow all the rules in order to keep staying on the air.
Yeah, right.
I love the legal ID. I just love the legal ID. And I don't care if I say it twice or whatever, because mm-hmm. it's once and twice, it's better. But it really is great when people say they listen to the show and they like the music or they call up. Mm-hmm. And there were, when I first started 20 years ago, there were a couple calls. But they've decreased over the years. And I think at one time, the music director long ago asked me if I could start my show at 10 o'clock rather than 9 o'clock. And that was, and I was like, okay, sure. Mm-hmm. So I played the format from 9 to 10. And that was important because it gave me something in common with everybody else at the station,
sure.
following the format. And there was a lot of great jazz I enjoyed playing during that hour. And I would aim as the hour went along, getting a little more adventurous. So mm-hmm. one thing that taught me was you know, the first hour, you take it, you ease people into it. And somebody just said that to me today. Yeah, the first hour, it seems like you ease into it. And then the last 2 hours, you...
Boom, there it is.
We're headed for the stratosphere. We're headed for outer space, yeah.
Well, Rick, thank you very much. And again, you can hear Rick Petrie and John Greenbaum doing North Star Sounds every Tuesday here at Jazz 90.1. And we're happy to have you, especially as we celebrate our 50th.
Well, thank you, Rob. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here, definitely.
Thank you for checking out this episode as part of WGMC at 50, the podcast series celebrating 5 decades of Jazz 90.1 WGMC. Be sure to check back often as we plan to upload new episodes every week or two, celebrating those folks who have come through our doors, making this great radio station what it is today. Also, don't forget to check out our website. Our 50th anniversary page is loaded full of historical pictures, articles, audio, video, and so much more. This is Jazz 90.1 WGMC station manager Rob Linton. Thank you again so much for tuning in.